In a few minutes, a lesson on exchange rates, President Trump's trade policy, and tequila. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. First, workers at the largest copper mine in the world are set to strike tomorrow. The Escondida mine in Chile, controlled by the Australia-based mining company BHP Billiton, produces 5% of the world's copper. Copper prices are up 1.5% this morning, with the effects of this impending labor action being felt around the world. Marketplace's Jed Kim is following this.
The strike has been put off for a week because of mediation efforts by the Chilean government. Tomorrow, union members can legally begin. Negotiations over wages and benefits have failed. Years of falling copper prices may have made the mine's owners less willing to budge. They say production will stop if workers go through with the strike. They cite safety concerns. Safety is ever-present in the country's consciousness. A cave-in at another mine famously trapped 33 Chilean miners in 2010. All were rescued. Eyes around the world are watching the negotiations, which could influence other mines in the country and in the U.S. The uncertainty has also raised prices. The metal recently hit 20-month highs. Further increases could have wide impacts, since copper is a key component in everything from construction to communications.
Jed, thank you. Let's check the numbers. The FTSE in London is down less than 0.1%. The S&P future is little changed now. The Dow future is up 9 points. Mexico City-based Jose Cuervo, the biggest tequila maker, will put a price on its brand new stock today. Marketplace's Andy Euler takes a look at initial stock offerings in this changing political climate.
Many Mexican companies have taken a hit because of uncertainty surrounding U.S.-Mexico trade relations under the Trump administration. Kathleen Smith is a principal at Renaissance Capital. They focus on IPOs. She says postponing going public last year made sense for Jose Cuervo.
A lot of the political climate was focused on Mexico, worries about what the reactions would be to a wall being built and other possible tariffs that could be imposed.
Even now, we don't know exactly what the trade relationship between the U.S. and Mexico will be, but we know it'll be different. Michelle Lowry teaches finance at Drexel University. She says the ups and downs of the peso will play a big role in the IPO because it's uncertain what currency the company mainly operates in.
A lot of times the sales and production are happening on both sides of the border. If there's a lot of uncertainty on where the peso is going, then it makes harder to make plans going forward.
Cuervo could raise as much as $1 billion by going public. The company's more than a quarter of the U.S. tequila market and gets about 60% of its sales in North America. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
It's calculated that foreign students contribute $36 billion a year to the U.S. economy. Commerce Department ranks higher ed as one of the top 10 largest exports in the services category. Often, international students don't qualify for financial aid, so they pay full freight, and they also buy clothes, food, books, rent apartments. But will the Trump administration's new border policies dampen enthusiasm for students coming stateside to study? Sally Herships reports.
A few weeks ago, Abhishek Goyal was feeling pretty good about being an international student. He's 22, from India, and getting a master's degree in construction management at NYU. Here is how he described America's brand at the time.
Diversified. Open-minded. Colorful.
Well, India's pretty colorful.
Well, I'm talking about the thought process kind of way.
Back home, Goyal said everything would be decided for him by his parents and society. He'd be expected to become a scientist or an engineer. But here, he works part-time as a photographer, and he likes to party. That kind of freedom is why he came. But that was before President Trump's executive order. India wasn't on the list of banned countries, but still.
Well, I'm still optimistic about my future, but I'm a little scared right now.
We're sitting on the carpeted floor of a student center. Behind us is a large black wall, and students' hopes for the semester are scrawled there in pink and green chalk. There's what you might expect. Get on the dean's list. Be my best self. But in big white letters, support our president. The chalk is smudged. It looks like someone else has tried to erase it with their hand. Goyal says Trump's move to ban refugees wasn't a good one.
I mean, come on. He's not getting it. It's not a company. It's a country that he's running, and a country has to work in alliance with everybody elsewhere.
At Brandeis, the new school, and the University of Tulsa, as many as 20 to 30% of students are from overseas. Administrators there say it's a tough time to gauge reaction from prospective students. The application deadline has passed, and deposits aren't due for months. Dr. Alan Goodman is CEO of the Institute of International Education, a nonprofit that researches international students in the U.S. Before Trump's order, he said the most common concern he heard from students and their families was about guns.
Does everybody in America carry a gun? Will my son or daughter be safe on campus if guns are allowed to be carried?
Now, Goodman says, it's too soon to tell if America's education brand is still going strong overseas. But he says, remember, we need foreign students, and for a lot more than their tuition dollars. According to the State Department, fewer than half of Americans have passports.
So how are our kids going to learn to work with Chinese, Indians, Brazilians, Mexicans? They only learned it in the classroom.
Goodman says he's grateful the world still dreams the American dream. It's what he says will continue to make America great. Goyal says what he's telling his friends back home, sure, come to the U.S. to study, but don't count on staying too long. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And here's a number, $3 trillion. There's news China's foreign exchange reserves have now fallen below this $3 trillion level. A couple of years ago, Chinese money overseas was around $4 trillion. This as China works to prop up its currency to keep Chinese money from flowing out during this cooler period for economic growth there. Now, you thought you heard China was unfairly holding its renminbi down to make its goods easier to sell overseas? Maybe once upon a time, but no, not these days, experts say. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.